Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is Ella McCarthy. Hello, Ella.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. So Ella is an intern here. She's a Missouri School of Journalism student who works with us covering state government and just other general assignment type things here at the News Tribune. And so today we're going to talk about, there's an event coming up in which a lot of celebrity focus is going to be on the capital city. Tell us about it, Ella.
Absolutely. So the HALO Foundation, it's actually headquartered in Kansas City and has two different locations in Jefferson City, will be hosting their annual art auction. The HALO program serves youth all around the world that maybe are experiencing homelessness or housing insecurity, and they also just provide a lot of different life skills and training and things like that. So the art auction is going to be called Defying the Odds, and it will be highlighting a story of a HALO member named Zaire. He's had multiple open heart surgeries. He was born with hypoplastic left heart syndrome, and he was later diagnosed with cerebral palsy. It's affected his muscle coordination and his speech. So he's had multiple surgeries and he's going to be having a heart transplant, but he has really grown and come out of his shell after joining HALO about 2 years ago. He's been able to fulfill one of his lifelong dreams of playing basketball. He's learned new skills. He's working towards driving, and he's going to be starting his first job at Target. And the event will be highlighting his story through a documentary. And last year, amid the pandemic, the foundation decided to move their annual art auction to a virtual platform so that more people could get involved. And they highlighted another story of a young woman in Kansas City who went through their program. And during that, they actually got a lot of attention from different celebrities, including Oprah Winfrey. And this year, Oprah has decided to participate in the auction along with lots of other notable guests. And she will be auctioning a signed pair of Jimmy Choo heels, and some of the other auction items include a holiday getaway in Daytona Beach and a few other things.
Of the auction items there, you've kind of seen a list here. What's caught your eye?
Well, I personally think that the Jimmy Choos are really interesting, Gary. You know, you're getting not only a $700 to $900 pair of shoes, but you're also getting something signed by Oprah Winfrey. And that is just in itself quite exciting. I think the beach trip would be interesting as well. You know, getting away from the cold Missouri weather might be nice, but there are a lot of people that will be tuning in from around the world. So
it is a virtual auction. So you want to make sure you get your bid in early on those Jimmy Choos.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about Zaire. In your interviews, you spoke with the founder of HALO, Rebecca Welsh, as well as Zaire and his aunt.
Yes, that's correct. Rebecca Welsh founded HALO right after college. She's been doing this for over 17 years. It started as more of a worldwide program, and so I believe she mentioned that her first project was set up in India following the really devastating tsunami that happened in 2004. But they have branched out. You know, housing insecurity and homelessness, as she mentioned, are something that affects everyone, and right here in Jefferson City where she's located, and also in Kansas City where she was before. So they've opened two different homes in Jefferson City. One of them is the Jefferson City Girls Home, which actually has temporary housing for women ages 16 to 21 for up to 24 months. And then they have a boys program where there is a housing location, but it's an after-school program. And so that's where Zaire was able to come in. He just talked about how much being able to go through this program and being able to just meet people, have new mentors has really helped him take the next steps for things that he's always wanted to do.
So one thing that has always struck me, I mean, the HALO organization does great work here in Jefferson City and obviously worldwide as well. And they've made some great connections here in the city as well, as far as folks who support it, as well as HALO going out into the community to really reach those youth who are in need. What's some of the ways in which HALO has been able to do that recently?
So when HALO first came to Jefferson City, they mainly focused their contact through the Jefferson City school districts. So they are looking at kids from elementary to high school, and they're just asking principals, coaches, counselors, you know, who can you identify that may be experiencing homelessness or housing insecurity, and how can we get them to come into our program so that we can help them? I spoke with a woman named Nicole, who's also part of the HALO program. She's in Kansas City. But something that she mentioned specifically for young people is that it's very hard to self-identify that you may be homeless or dealing with housing insecurities, because it's something you don't want people to know. You know, you don't want your peers to know that you may be experiencing a difficult home life and things like that. So when they first started working with the Jefferson City School District, I believe she said they identified over 100 kids that were in need of some sort of housing assistance or were experiencing homelessness.
And that could be whether they're just jumping from couch to couch from friends, mm-hmm. living in cars or elsewhere, but not really having a home base.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's, as somebody who's lived here a fairly long time, that's unsettling to me when I think of students, children who are homeless in our mm-hmm. city. It certainly is a fact of life that we all have to face and try to confront and help. And one method that we try to do that, and it's coming up, it's called a point in time count.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
That is an initiative from the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. And so basically what it does is once a year on one single night, they have community leaders go out into their community and just identify the number of the people that they see that are homeless. So that could be either going to camps, doing a head count in a shelter, just having people that may come in for a meal at a shelter, ask them, where do you plan on staying tonight? And then following up with them the next day and say, is this what actually happened? Did you stay in your car? Did you stay with a friend? Trying to measure homelessness and housing insecurity is extraordinarily difficult because it can change, as you mentioned, just on the spot. So one night you may be sleeping in a car, the next you may be sleeping on someone's couch. This year, the point in time count has been delayed a little bit due to the surge of the COVID-19 Omicron variant. But Brian Vogler, the Center of Hope director at the Salvation Army here, will be leading the 2022 count on Thursday. And so he'll be able to actually go into some of the encampments that are here. He'll be doing the shelters that are here as well, and just going to different areas around the community where he believes people may be staying.
Yeah. And my understanding behind this is, so first of all, you have to understand how big the need is and how best then to address the need, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's shelters, whether it's one of the things that in a Sunday story you did with Joe Gamm, talked a little bit about, there's a program called Transformational Housing here in town. That's another method. Give listeners a little bit of an idea of what the Transformational Housing is trying to do.
Transformational Housing of Jefferson City is an initiative that utilizes the American Rescue Plan Act funding from the federal government to open new buildings where people can come and have sort of their own home to transition from being homeless or being housing insecure to a more permanent and secure housing facility. So it is in Jefferson City. It's modeled after some other programs. The organization will require any of the families who receive apartments in the structure to enroll in different programs so that they can help get them back on foot and set goals to create stability and then save the resources that they would need to move into more permanent housing.
So my understanding is that it ramps them up slowly. It helps them build those good resources, those skills of how to pay rent, to pay utilities, to manage the resources so that they can succeed and have the goal of a foundational home. So again, that's one of the tools that could be used to address homelessness or housing needs. And as we've talked about, the idea is that this point in time count will happen this week, and barring weather concerns, obviously they're forecasting some weather on Thursday, so we'll be watching that. In our show notes, we'll certainly include links to Ella and Joe's stories on Sunday, and I would also encourage you to watch for Ella's story about the point in time count that will be coming up this week. Ella, anything else you want to add about the subject?
Definitely. I think it'll be interesting this year. You know, HUD just put out its 2021 data from last year's point in time count, but something that was hard during the pandemic was they allowed people not to do an unsheltered count, and they only did the sheltered count. So a sheltered count is going to be those people that are either staying one night or maybe a month or so in a shelter, but the unsheltered is people staying in camps, people spending the night on the street. And so since everything was going on with the pandemic last year and, you know, people weren't sure how they would be able to get out and do the count, they allowed them to skip that. And so some of the numbers did show a significant decrease in the overall homeless population across the nation. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, just going out, how it's changed since the eviction moratorium ended and what it's been like the past year.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that we are expecting that the count may be up substantially because of those things. You're right. So definitely we'll be watching that in the coming days and weeks. So, Ella, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was lovely to be here.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.